Very excited about this. I've been bringing this up all day because we have our very own Woj jumping on the show right now. DJ Ringenberg from KESN 103.3 FM, ESPN affiliate in Dallas, joins us now. DJ, is that title good enough at this point? You are our Adrian Wojnarowski.
It's very kind of you to have me on. You are extremely overselling what I'm capable of bringing to the show, but I'm going to do my best. I'm going to bring you a little knowledge here.
What do you want to say before we get into the NBA draft? I'm going to give you the floor here. What do you want to? I've told people you are a University of Iowa graduate. What do you want to say to these to the Iowa listeners?
I want to say that it's a little bit warmer down here in Dallas in the winter, so I think I made the right choice by going back home after graduating.
Now you're just rubbing it in.
But no, I'm really happy that you're getting this opportunity. I mean, I stream every once in a while whenever I need to hear what's going on with the Hawkeyes, whatever's going on up there. I don't get a ton of Big Ten coverage. I get shouted down with a lot of Big 12 stuff down here, but it's really good to be on up there in the Midwest. I really do miss my time back up there at Iowa.
So the Big 12 coverage, I assume that you've seen a little bit of Mo Bamba over the last year. I know the Dallas Mavericks, the 103.3 FM KESN, you guys carry the Mavericks game, so you're pretty tuned in with what's going on with that franchise. How much does that franchise front office like Mo Bamba, the big man out of Texas?
Well, that was one of the rumors that was floating around earlier today, that the GM really loves Mo Bamba, while Mark Cuban, the owner, really likes Michael Porter Jr. because he has star potential. He sees him as a guy that could fill seats, potentially, and that's what this team desperately needs. Unfortunately, the last time that they did not have, or whenever they had a disagreement over this, it was back in 2013. Dallas was picking 13th overall. Donnie wanted a young guy. Donnie, the GM, wanted a young guy named Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oh, no.
While Mark Cuban wanted to keep the powder dry for free agency, try to add another big name there. So they ended up trading down to number 18 and scooping up Shane Larkin. And that that didn't really work out so great for Dallas. So if you're looking at it from that dynamic, I think that fans are kind of siding with the GM right now. I think they're feeling a little bit safer with Mo Bamba as opposed to the impulse pick of a Michael Porter Jr., if that's what the owner really does want here.
See, DJ, the reason that I called you our Woj is because I told everybody I was texting with you just about a half an hour ago, and there was a rumor that popped up that the Mavericks were very interested in Luka Doncic. And you've said this all along, by the way. You've said that Mark Cuban is infatuated with him. They love the Slovenian product, the EuroLeague star. Now, there was a rumor that they were going to trade up to number 3, and they would select for Atlanta Trae Young. You said that didn't make much sense. Adrian Wojnarowski, 20 minutes later, says that the asking price is too much. You beat Woj to the punch. Why does that not make sense?
See, here's the thing, though. I don't think it makes sense for the Mavericks to be turning it down. Mark Stein of the New York Times, he's reporting now that Dallas is unwilling to make this deal with Atlanta for number 3. So Dallas is picking 5. Atlanta's picking number 3. The deal would be number 5 and Wesley Matthews with one more year on his deal at about $18, $19 million in exchange for the 3rd pick and Kent Bazemore, who has a similar deal except 2 years from now. So you're talking about the Mavericks trading up 2 spots in the draft and it costing them $19 million in cap space. If they really like Luka Doncic, there's absolutely no reason why they wouldn't make this deal, because the Mavs have nothing but cap space. The Mavs are not trying to win for 2 more years. At least you're trying to be as bad as possible, even though that got Mark Cuban in a lot of trouble whenever he said it publicly, but it's absolutely the truth. There is no incentive to be winning at this point. So it really comes down to how they are viewing Luka Doncic compared to Mo Bamba, compared to Jaren Jackson, compared to all of these guys that are in that 3-6 area. If that deal is really on the table and the Mavericks are balking at it over $19 million, easy for me to say, I know. but the franchise is flush with money. They have all sorts of cap space, and they're not trying to win. I would be extremely disappointed if they really believe in Luka Doncic pairing him with Dennis Smith Jr. and they don't make that happen. I would be very surprised.
Now, you mentioned balking, and there's another report that was coming out about a player you just mentioned and Michael Porter Jr. out of Missouri. It's been a really weird saga with him over the past few weeks, and you mentioned that Mark Cuban really does like him, but there are medical concerns about him, and the report was that a lot of NBA teams, a lot of teams in that top 10 are not necessarily comfortable drafting him inside the top 10 based on the medicals. What are you hearing about him?
You know, I'm a big believer that medical technology these days is pretty incredible, where I think that even if you're talking about back surgery, even if you're talking about a guy that has something where he doesn't have the ideal structure in his hips, that's another thing that you're hearing, that he's going to be prone to hip injuries based on his size. That is a huge risk for a team that's going to be picking in the top five to be taking. Not only maybe in another year where it's not quite as stacked at the top, but you can realistically go eight deep in this draft whenever you get down to Kevin Knox out of Kentucky, Wendell Carter out of Duke, even Zaire Smith out of Texas Tech. He really had an unbelievable year. I think he's really going to shock a lot of people, and he's going to make an impact early on, I think. So there's just too many good options that are available at the top of this year's draft, I think, to take a chance on a guy that he described himself as a mix of Tracy McGrady, Kevin Durant, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. And I hate to say it, I don't think he has anywhere near the ability of those guys where KD and Giannis can put the ball on the floor and they can dribble past just about anybody and get to the basket. He doesn't have that type of athleticism, and you mix in these injuries with a guy that's 6'10", and he's one of these, you know, he's a monster. He's a huge guy. Those back injuries, at some point, you would have to bet on them catching up to him. Maybe he's going to have a bright career, but I have a feeling it's going to be quite a bit shorter and more injury-marred than some of these other guys. I just don't think that that's worth the risk for some of these teams that are looking for a cornerstone.
DJ Ringenberg, the combination of Adrian Wojnarowski, Colin Cowherd, and Dan Patrick joining us on KGYM.
I hate you right now. That's a terrible mix that you just made.
we were bringing up the proposed trade. One of your colleagues, Tim McMahon, just reported that the Atlanta Hawks were also looking for future draft picks. So I think that makes a little bit more sense as to why Dallas might pass, correct?
Yeah, there's no question. The Mavericks are not in a position where they need to be giving up future draft picks. As I said before, Dennis Smith Jr. is a fantastic young piece. He was able to cut his teeth last year where working alongside Rick Carlisle, it's really a fantastic match, and that Carlisle challenges him, and Dennis Smith has the drive to be great. He wants to be one of the great ones, but this is not a quick turnaround. This is not something where the Mavericks are trying to compete next year, even though they're kind of talking about that. Putting that out publicly, that they're going to try to make some moves in free agency and try to get back in the mix, that is the absolute worst thing that they could possibly do right now. If you're going naturally through the draft here, where you look at Ayton, Bagley, and Doncic as your top three, and you're going to have your choice of maybe two of the three of Jaren Jackson Jr., Mo Bamba, Michael Porter, you've also got, to a lesser extent, Wendell Carter and Kevin Knox, I'm of mind where I'm sticking at number five if it's going to cost you a future protected first-round draft pick in order to move up two spots. I don't know that there's that significant of a difference between a Luka Doncic and the potential of Jaren Jackson. I mean, Jaren Jackson, I think, has as good a chance as any of these guys to be a great two-way player, because you look at Mo Bamba, okay, he's going to have to develop tremendously on the offensive end to be a factor in that way. Marvin Bagley is a terrible defender. As is DeAndre Ayton. It's really tough to find a two-way guy, and there's Jaren Jackson, the youngest of that top five, and we've already seen at the college level that he can do all that. He can defend at the rim. He's athletic enough and long enough where he can guard on the perimeter. He can shoot threes. The guy can do it all, and it's kind of like he's just sitting there as the forgotten man. That kind of makes me a little suspicious that he could be one of these guys that ends up going in the top three or the top four, where that's going to be the real steal of this draft. I think the only real knock I can put even close to putting on him would be that maybe because his dad was a pro, maybe he's a little complacent in just being a average pro. Maybe he doesn't have that killer instinct to be great, but there's really no indication that that's going to be a problem for him.
Now,
he gets knocks because Tom Izzo didn't have him in big games at the end of the season. I think he's a classic example of leaving a college system where a coach feels like he's fitting guys into his system and he wants them to focus on certain things. I think whenever you really open things up for Jaren Jackson, if I had to put money on who I think is going to be the best player out of this top five, I would bet on him. And I know that's sacrilegious, pumping up the Michigan State guy, but I don't see how you can look at him and not be incredibly impressed by the full package that he has.
Now, we were talking about Mo Bamba earlier, and you mentioned defense and I guess consistent effort. That's a huge question mark with him, is it not? I know everybody looks at his frame and his leaping ability and his 7'10 wingspan, but there were times he took some possessions off. He wasn't exactly exerting himself on the defensive end 100% of the time, was he?
Well, it's kind of the anomaly where we look at some of these centers that have come out of the University of Texas in the last couple of years. And coming out of Shaka Smart's system, I know Shaka Smart, they were extremely excited whenever they got him down there at Texas. But some of these guys have gone on. Miles Turner, probably the biggest example, where he didn't really do much of anything in college. He wasn't a top draft pick, and he ends up going to the Pacers, and he's excellent. And it's like, where was this whenever he was at Texas? I'm very suspect about Shaka Smart and what he's been doing down there. He's been getting great recruits, and he really has been maximizing it. They don't win a lot of games down there. They're always sniffing the tournament, but they're not ever doing anything. They're not any sort of contender on any level. So Bamba's another possibility of being able to take that next step. I'm not too worried about his defensive skills. He's really going to have to work on his footwork, in that he's going to have to learn how to adjust where he's getting switched on screens, and he's going to have to guard out to the perimeter. But around the basket, the dude is inhuman. The length that he has and the leaping ability, he's got all of that. It's just a matter of if he's ever going to develop the outside shooting game to where he's going to open up the lane a little bit for the guards, whoever's playing around him. And I think that's a big question mark this offseason. He's working with the shot coach, the shooting coach that Jason Tatum worked with, and that worked out pretty well for Tatum. I don't know that Bamba will ever be the natural shooter, though, that Jason Tatum is, and he definitely can't put the ball on the floor like Tatum. So Bamba is probably, along with Michael Porter Jr., those are the biggest question marks for me, just the huge upside, huge potential downside as well, though.
Yeah, and when I was talking about defense, I was talking more along the lines of effort, because he is one of the probably the best rim protector in this draft. The next thing I wanted to get to with you is DJ Ringenberg from ESPN Dallas 103.3 FM joins us at 6:21 on KGYM. Is a question that I brought up in hour number one. I look at the NBA and I see all of these teams drafting at the top. You look at this Phoenix Suns, the Sacramento Kings are brought up quite a bit in this discussion, and even teams that are in the playoffs, like the Milwaukee Bucks, and up until last year before they started tanking, the Memphis Grizzlies fall under this boat. Teams that just realistically don't really ever think they're going to have a chance to contend. Now, the Golden State Warriors were in this mold. The Oklahoma City were in the Thunder were in this mold. And how did they get out of it? They drafted point guard. They drafted a playmaking point guard. Steph Curry, Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant can shoot the ball. They drafted a bunch of guys that can shoot the ball, and they transformed the NBA. My question to you is, when you see a guy like Trae Young or Colin Sexton, knowing what Donovan Mitchell did last year, and Dennis Smith, what he did last year, and Terry Rozier, why are point guards still being passed on early in the draft when in football you see quarterbacks, kind of the similar skill comp to a different sport, are being constantly overdrafted?
I really love Colin Sexton, and I think that he's probably going to be the best guard. I don't know if I want to call Luka Doncic a true guard. He's kind of that combo where you're not exactly sure if a team is going to be trusting him taking the ball down the court every time. I think that remains to be seen. I think the problem is that right now in the league, it is definitely shifting to where you have a lot of big guys shooting from the outside. That is the ultimate goal. You're looking for the Kevin Durant mold in where no matter who is guarding him, it is a mismatch. And whenever you're talking about putting guards on guys like Kevin Durant, where you're getting switched onto a Draymond Green, whatever the situation is, you have to have a point guard that isn't just a dynamic scorer. You have to think about the Russell Westbrooks of the league. You have to think about the Damian Lillards of the league. You have to think about these guys that are tremendous offensive weapons in addition to their ability to facilitate. So many of these guys coming out of college, it's just really hard to project that they're going to be able to defend at that position because the league is full of so many tremendously good young guards that a lot of teams look at it and they say, well, he's pretty good on the offensive end, but because he's not going to be able to defend for 30 to 35 minutes a game against the top point guards in the league, then he's never going to be more than a backup point guard. So that's why whenever you do get those elite types, then they're going to go high. I don't know that there is a true elite two-way point guard in this draft, though. I would say the closest that you're going to get, if you're not counting Luka Doncic, since he's kind of a, you know, at 6'8", he's kind of a forward, he's kind of a guy with not really a true position. Trae Young is not a good defender at all. He is tremendous on the offensive end. He's a tremendous facilitator. You're not exactly sure what you're going to get with some of these other guys as well. Colin Sexton, he's about as hard a hard worker as you're going to get on both ends of the floor. The guy is an absolute animal on defense. He'll pick you up on defense, you know, other side of the half court line. Like, he is no stranger to putting pressure on guys. They're just not very prevalent in the draft. So I would say that's really why you don't see too many of them up there with all the bigs this year.
DJ Ringenberg from ESPN Dallas joining us at 6:24. One more before we let you go, because I know that you, as we mentioned, you still follow your Iowa Hawkeyes, and you're as close to the NBA as anybody that I know personally. Tyler Cook tested the NBA waters, and he decided to return for his junior season at the University of Iowa. What do you think scouts told him, and what do you think he needs to improve on to become a at least in the discussion as a first-round NBA draft pick?
Well, I think we see it pretty clear at the top of this year's draft where you see Mo Bamba putting out all of these videos of him just shooting threes in the gym, just three, three, one after the other. And I would imagine that those scouts told Tyler Cook that you're not going to be able to make it at the next level unless you're able to stretch out to the three-point line at a respectable number. What is a respectable number for a guy like him? You're probably talking 35%, you know, at the NBA level. And whenever you have NBA defenders closing out on you at the three-point line, that is a extremely high bar. I love Tyler Cook. I thought for sure he was going to take the opportunity, start in the G League, and try to work his way up in that way. I'm thrilled that he's coming back to Iowa because, I mean, it was a rough season last year. I mean, I sat through all of them. I got bullied at work all the time because of the rough season that they had. I think that he can take this opportunity, take that feedback, and shoot efficiently from range. He has to stop with those mid-range jumpers. Mid-range jumpers in the NBA, long twos, it's just kind of a dying art. You got to stretch it out a little bit further, a few more feet, start shooting more threes. That's going to help Iowa a lot this year if he's able to sink more threes, especially you add Wieskamp. I'm expecting big things from Wieskamp this year coming in as a freshman. So you've got another guy that's going to be taking defenders away out on maybe the other side of the wing, the other perimeter. And Tyler Cook has just got to work because there's no question his touch around the basket, his ability to finish at the basket, He's got to get quicker feet, stronger feet on the defensive end, and he's got to be able to shoot threes. Otherwise, it's going to be a tough go making that transition to the next level. But I truly believe that he's capable. There's really no knock against the guy other than he's just got to keep honing his skills and getting a little bit better from that range. Otherwise, I think that good things are setting up for the team actually this year. Got to play a little more defense than they did last year, though.
I said one more before we let you go, but you led me right to another point, because you bring up him possibly thinking about going to the G League and then moving on from there. Does the NBA need a more refined farm system? Because I know you are a big baseball fan as well, and you look at guys like Tyler Cook who get drafted, I guess a similar skill set on the baseball side, who go to single A, double A, and they're able to hone their skills in. You just don't have that in college basketball. You either go to, you have these 4-year guys who kind of become role players. You have these freshmen who are drafted, and a lot of them have to learn on really terrible NBA teams while trying to make the adjustment. Does there need to be a better farm system in the NBA?
It's really brutal trying to break in where those benches in the NBA are just so short. I mean, there is just not many opportunities where you're trying to win as many games as possible for the most part. And yeah, I mean, there's got to be a better system. Although, you look at what's happening across the world where it's not a joke to go play in Israel anymore or Turkey or some of these smaller countries where maybe you wouldn't think that they're NBA hotbeds, but it's such a global game now that you really can go overseas, as we've seen with a couple of Iowa guys, and have a good career, have a good couple of seasons, and you're not completely shut out of the NBA. They've made changes to the G League, too, to where it's much easier to facilitate moves back and forth from the affiliated G League teams to the big league, to the big NBA teams. So that is something that I think they're actively working on. The talent now it's everywhere. I mean, it's not impossible to find these guys anymore. I think like it used to be where if you weren't a top 10 to 15 draft pick, then it was just pretty much no chance you're ever going to be able to break into the league. That was what it was like for a very long time. I think that the league is kind of shedding that skin a little bit more now, and it's not impossible to spend time in the G League, you know, really work on your craft down there, get a lot of playing time, because for these guys, really, it's all about getting quality playing time. And with all of these good leagues around the league now, G League, they're making improvements to that. Adam Silver is such a proactive guy for the NBA as a commissioner. The NFL could definitely take notes from what he's been able to do for that league. I have a lot of faith that is actually coming around, and that it's not in as bad a shape as some people may think.
DJ Ringenberg from ESPN Dallas joining us at 6:30. Thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of your off night. Oh, enjoy the draft.
Yeah, it's just about to get underway. I got to get out of here. I got to run home real quick.
Yeah, you got to talk to your sources, right?
I got to get on the phone. I would imagine most of those guys that I talk to, they have more important conversations happening right now. I'm just going to try to kind of clean up some of the scraps that they have a little bit later.
Thanks, DJ. Have a good rest of your night.
Appreciate it, man. Good talking to you.
DJ Ringenberg.